Welcome to God and Country Radio. This week's topic is entitled, God Does the Work. This is a doctrine taught throughout Scripture that victory comes from the hand of God, not by the work of man. Psalm chapter 3, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. And the infamous Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But before we get started, some introductory remarks. Listeners have often asked me, how do I choose the topic for each week? I mean, after all, there are so many things that could be discussed every week. Often there is something big happening in foreign policy, and then I talk about something local, or an election is going on, and then I just address a point of theology. Well, my criteria has always been to share the biblical truth that I believe would best help edify the Christians, help them grow spiritually. What we need to learn about God and his ways. And if an item in the news happens to illustrate that point, all the better. And of course, every week there is always something happening in the world that illustrates the point. Now, in this, I hope that I'm walking the Spirit and being led by the Spirit rather than just wanting to talk about what I want to talk about. And I do believe that Christians are led of the Spirit. After 35 years of ministry, I've just been amazed how God directs his people to certain truths at the perfect time. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. John chapter 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. And here's another truth. I am on a mission for God. And all Christians need to view their lives as a mission for God. You know, I was reminded of this truth after looking again at Dante's Inferno, written in the 1300s. Dante visits each level of hell, and he's stopped by various guardians. And Dante simply says, I'm on a mission for God. And then in great fear, they let him pass. The phrase, on a mission for God, is repeated continually. And it dawned on me that Dante was getting this statement right from the New Testament. The Latin word for send, or to be sent, is the word mission. John chapter 3, verse 35 in Latin actually reads, he who is on a mission for God speaks the word of God. Or as in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. It can read in the Latin, as I'm on a mission from the Father, I send you on a mission. I really believe it's inspiring to remember that in all of our endeavors, we are on a mission for God. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or how the world responds, we're working for God. What matters is faithfulness to God, not the size of our footprint in this world. It doesn't even matter how many subscribers we have on YouTube. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So let's be on a mission for God and speak the word of God. And here is the word of God for this moment. God does the work. Salvation is of the Lord. And that sounds straightforward, and everyone says amen, but it is not as widely believed as one might think, even among religious people. It's actually a controversial subject, because there are many who teach a work salvation, that man has to do the work to save himself and really to save the world. So that Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, are not readily accepted. You know the text. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Did we get that? Not a result of works. But people will say, surely God still helps those who help themselves, and surely we have to do some of the saving. But no, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6, and Romans chapter 5. While we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. So most evangelicals have this doctrine of salvation down, but when it comes to Christian living, earthly victories, we sometimes begin to look to ourselves, begin to credit ourselves, putting too much stock in ourselves. But in a very important point of doctrine, the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, is that every aspect of salvation is accomplished by Christ. Past justification, present sanctification, and future glorification when Christ returns, God does it. And a key verse in this regard is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. So notice the three aspects of salvation being described here. Past tense, he delivered us. That's the day of our salvation, the new birth. And he will deliver us. That's our current struggles in daily sanctification. And he will yet deliver us. That's the future, our resurrection and our glorification, which only God can do. God does all three. So let's stop trusting ourselves, our own ability, our own resources. Paul had to often remind the Corinthian church of this because being impressed with worldly wisdom and activity, they attributed way too much to man. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthians previously in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but by his doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Christians should have memorized Psalm 33 because it makes this important point. Verse 16, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Because God is the one who delivers, we must look to God. We must hope for his loving kindness. Our souls must wait upon the Lord, for he is our help and our protection, not us, not others. Nothing is going to happen unless God moves his hand. Okay, I'm back. My son called me and asked me if I wanted to go snow sledding with my grandkids for a couple of hours. And I said, no, you know, I really want to get this YouTube done today. I'm busy. So I hung up on him. And a few minutes later, I called him back and said, you know what? I'm going to be there. I got convicted. I need to spend some time with the family when I get a chance. You would think I would have gotten convicted by, you know, some verse of scripture. But the lyrics to Harry Chapman's song, Cats in the Cradle, came to my mind. So I had to go snow sledding. Anyway, where did I leave off? Throughout the Bible, we learn that God does the work, not man. And there are many civil government applications to this. Consider the conservative swing we're seeing in our country, what all the pundits are talking about right now. And I do believe it's real, and I do believe it's beneficial, even though it may fall short of a genuine revival. Just because it's imperfect doesn't mean it's a deception of the devil. There is an unusual, unexpected conservative swing in America, and it's of God, not man. God is partially reestablishing his authority just for the sake of his people. God is doing this, not Donald Trump, not Elon Musk, not Charlie Kirk or whoever. God does it. But often God uses human agents. And when God uses human agents, people will inevitably and mistakenly attribute the work to those human agents. You know, for me, the Trump phenomenon sheds new light on the biblical book of the Judges. You know, yesterday I was watching on the news people lining up from around the country to get into the Trump rally, to be part of the inauguration. Why the enthusiasm? Well, it gives us a sense of the same kind of enthusiasm behind the biblical book of Judges. These men were truly singled out as heroes, superheroes. God delivered the nation over to the hands of the Philistines, the Midianites, and the Moabites. And while many Jews were glad for that ecumenical globalism, that pagan idolatry, but many Jews were grieved over the rule of the Philistines and their god Dagon, and the rule of the Midianites and their god Baal, and the rule of the Moabites and their god Chemosh. But there was nothing that they could do about it. And even if they tried, if God wasn't in it, they weren't going to overthrow these usurpers. So the people needed a champion, someone who had the resources, the courage, the backing of the people and the backing of God, someone who could lead the charge. And so when these judges arose on and off over a period of 400 years, the people were elated. If you've ever been involved in a political campaign, you learn very quickly that it is a complete exercise in futility unless God is doing the work. Psalm 75. Not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And if God is in it, you've got the wind to your back. But if God is not in it, it's like you're spitting in the wind. So this is why it was so exciting for the people of God when a judge called of God showed up. That is exciting for God-fearing Israelites. Now, it wasn't because these judges had such a great personality, but because these judges represented the dreams and the values and the aspirations of the people. People don't love Trump for Trump. They love him because he's fighting for what they believe and he's winning. And so in the Bible, we have these judges: Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson. And the Bible commends these men in Hebrews chapter 11 as performing acts of righteousness in taking down evil. And notice that they were called judges, not commanders, not captains. What were they judging? Sin and sinners. They were called of God to be Romans 13 ministers of God who take wrath on the ones who practice evil. But the point is that God is the one who raises up these judges. Judges chapter 2, verse 16, then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. So let's keep this truth in mind as we consider a few amazing events that have occurred recently. Turn of events as from the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 15. First, last week, the House passed a bill that bans transgender students from playing in the sport that doesn't match his or her biological gender. And it'll likely pass the Senate, and the new president will sign it. Just 2 years ago, one couldn't have even presented a bill like that without public scorn. But now the immoral ideology on the left is on the defensive. The right is on the offensive. They're not kicking the ball in our goal anymore. We have the ball down on their side, and we're kicking it at their goal. And they're panicking. Second, the House passed the Laken-Riley bill. Illegal aliens who commit crimes will now be deported. You know, I thought that was already the law, but apparently you can be an illegal alien, commit crimes, and still stay in America. A third story. Zuckerberg gets rid of Facebook fact checkers. And it's not just about the change in Facebook. It's about what Zuckerberg said concerning why he's making these changes. So let's listen.
Hey, everyone. I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political, but there's also a lot of legitimately bad stuff out there. Drugs, terrorism, child exploitation. These are things that we take very seriously, and I want to make sure that we handle responsibly. So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X, starting in the US. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the US. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system. Second, we're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. What started as a movement to be more inclusive has increasingly been used to shut down opinions and shut out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far. So I want to make sure that people can share their beliefs and experiences on our platforms.
So Zuckerberg called the media by the conservative pejorative, the legacy media. And he criticized the media for claiming free speech is a threat to democracy. And he admits that the fact checkers had political bias. And he said that if Facebook gets just 1% of the fact checks wrong, that means Facebook would unjustly be censoring millions of people. Notice he says that they are going to get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics such as immigration and gender. And he's speaking about those leftist restrictions. Because Zuckerberg says they are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. Zuckerberg is realizing that conservative values and ideas are now dominating mainstream discourse. The Overton window has shifted. Those conservative ideas and issues that are acceptable to the public. And Zuckerberg then said, the recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point toward once again prioritizing speech. Did you hear that? The recent elections. He's talking about the election of Donald Trump. And because Trump's in office, Zuckerberg says he's able to stand up to leftist censorship. Here's an interesting article from NBC. Mark Zuckerberg said Biden officials would scream and curse when seeking to remove Facebook content. The Meta CEO said on a podcast that administration officials had asked the company to remove certain posts, including things that were true, unquote. Do you think that all had an effect on Zuckerberg? It certainly didn't ingratiate Zuckerberg to the Democrats. The devil definitely overplayed his hand. So there's a big change going on in social media, like glasnost in the Soviet Union, when the Soviet Union opened up and Pravda could actually print the truth. Now, yes, there are people on the far left who are enraged and who are dropping their Facebook accounts, but they don't matter any longer. For now, they're on the run. They're losing the culture. Zuckerberg even said in an interview with Joe Rogan that the left's concept of toxic masculinity is wrong. Men need to become more masculine. So now, the two largest social media platforms, Musk with X and Zuckerberg with Facebook and Instagram, are leaning conservative. By the way, if you go to Twitter or X, it's a whole different site now. It's dominated by conservative content and posts. Here's a few more anecdotal stories. Megyn Kelly was saying that her one woke friend in California shared with her that all of her California woke friends can't wait to vote Republican. The fires in LA are going to result in a huge pushback against leftist policies and politicians in California. Victor David Hansen writes, so the shock of LA is that most of the people that were burned out of the Pacific Palisades, or the areas around it, were very, very left-wing and very wealthy. And this was what is shocking politically, because the consequences of their votes and their ideology had never really personally affected them to this degree until now. That's interesting. Bill Gates also said recently that he's impressed with President Trump. Wait a minute, wasn't Trump just Adolf Hitler last month? And Bill Maher recently said, I'm kind of excited to see what Trump's going to do, how it's going to work out. CNN had just lost a multi-million dollar lawsuit for criticizing a veteran who is helping save people out of Afghanistan. Both CNN and MSNBC are going bankrupt. President Trump at his rally said he is putting an end to DEI. And nobody was even shocked by that statement. The media wasn't even able to report on how everyone's offended and Trump needs to step down, because now the public is free to admit what everyone has known for a long time. DEI is racism. So what has caused all of this change? Well, I can tell you the main secondary causation: the tireless, sacrificial work of the alternative media, Red State, PJ Media, Breitbart, Town Hall, The Daily Wire, The Gateway Pundit, Newsmax, Daily Caller, Fox News, The Bongino Report, and hundreds of individual podcasters, beginning even with Rush Limbaugh 40 years ago. Truth changes the culture. It just took a generation for the leftist legacy media to overplay their authority, to lie enough, to insult enough, to be crazy enough for people to then turn to the alternative media and start hearing a different story. You know, I'd also say that the conservative media was only following the influence of the church, because Christians are the salt of the earth. Rush Limbaugh was raised in a Christian home. And so also many of these conservative pundits. But if the alternative media is the secondary causation, we must always recognize that the primary causation is God. He is the one who motivates, he inspires, he empowers. All wisdom emanates from God. He is the one who motivates righteousness and motivates righteous people to teach the truth and to start new platforms. And at the same time, as we read in the book of Joshua, he can put fear in the hearts of the enemy so that they're paralyzed. Prime example, God changed the minds and the emotions of the Canaanites so that they would be defeated. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25, "This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you among the peoples everywhere under the heavens, who when they hear the report of you will tremble and be in anguish because of you." In Joshua 23, 9, "For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you." But it also works the other way. If God is not with us, we will be defeated by even the smallest opponent. Deuteronomy 32, 30, "How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up?" So the truth that God does the work is something that we have to acknowledge if we're to give God the glory and if we're to expect God to work in our behalf, because God will not work in our behalf when men begin to boast that they're the ones doing the work. Notice this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. "Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and my strength, the strength of my hand, made me this wealth." God hates that attitude because it's such a lie. We're powerless and everything has to originate with God. And it's only when we come to the end of ourselves, when we realize that we're powerless, that God begins to work mightily in our behalf. Deuteronomy 32:36. "For the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free." That's when God begins to work, when we come to the end of ourselves. I like to visualize this whole thing this way. Think of a father who is lifting, let's say, 2 80-pound bags of concrete, and his 3-year-old runs over and puts his hand on the bag, saying that he wants to help daddy move the concrete. And of course, he does nothing. In fact, he probably does less than nothing because he's getting in the way. But the father appreciates it because it's a thought that counts. Well, that's the way it is with us and God. Believe it or not, although that sounds obvious, there are many folks who don't see it that way. They still think it's all up to us, as if God may come along and help after we get it all started and after we do the work. But no, deliverance belongs to God. Now, I have all sorts of notes here that I would love to get into, such as when Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat were surrounded by foreign enemies, and there was no chance in the world that Israel was going to win. But because these kings humbled themselves and acknowledged their helplessness before God, then God did a work. He did all of the work in defeating the enemies, and the Israelites didn't even have to raise a finger. All they had to do was pray. Also, I'd love to do an exposition of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, where Jeremiah says to God, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps." That's an amazing text, but very controversial. But I'm going to end here. We get the main point. At the very least, remember the lesson in the book of Judges And remember to look to God for deliverance and never credit yourself or anyone. Oh, you'll still be a worker, but you'll be a worker who is much more humble and much more at peace. So thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. Be on a mission for God. Speak the word of God. And may Jesus Christ reign.